The people dreamed this country. The people built this country. And it's the people who are making America great again.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Congressman Quigley, of course, probably went to an all-night after party, a rave, a post-State of the Union rave. Or maybe he got out just in time to catch the Hawks finish off the Nashville Predators last night, but he joins us now early. Appreciate you coming on. Good morning, Congressman.
Morning. There was no outlet showing the Hawk game, or you would have been exactly right on both counts.
Yeah, well, except the part about the all-night post-State of the Union rave.
Getting out as soon as I could and watching the Blackhawks.
We'll get to the State of the Union in a second. I want to ask you about this memo mess. Devin Nunes, the chair of the House Intel Committee, at his direction, his staff writes a memo, and this memo is alleged to have detailed shady operations, in quotes, by the FBI and our intel community related to the Clinton campaign in 16 and other things. Have you seen the memo?
I have seen the memo. I've seen both memos, the minority and the majority memos.
And do you believe the memo, the Nunes memo, will be released or not blocked, I guess is a better way to put it, by the president over the next 4 days?
I think the president will put it out as soon as he possibly can.
And do you think this will continue to muddy the waters and make the Mueller work harder?
I think it's an attempt to discredit Mr. Mueller, who was a war hero and had extraordinary bipartisan credentials
right.
support before this began. As soon as he started the investigation and indicting and getting plea agreements with Trump associates, he became persona non grata, and they went after him. And it is, I would suggest it's worse than that. This is a memo. This isn't something the intel community put together. This investigation began with Chairman Nunes going to the president and saying, here's some material that discredits how the Obama administration handled this Russian attack. And it turns out that he later had to admit that it was information that the White House gave him.
Right.
So that's how the investigation began. Now, one of his staff, who reads this, what we call a highest classified material, it's called Gang of Eight material,
okay,
writes a memo that is false and misleading. It actually reads like, and I used to teach at a university, it reads like a freshman wrote a book report at 2 a.m. with three Red Bulls in him. And he hadn't read the book.
Right, and it had to be done by 8 a.m.
Had to be done by 8 a.m. I attest that there are elements in the memo that I know are incorrect because of the testimony we have received in over a year. So, and they say, they tell Hannity and Fox and Friends, and they put this out, that we're keeping the information from them, which is just so tantalizing. It's just incorrect. So we asked them, all right, we don't think you should release this, but if you must, let us release an analysis which, with footnotes, shows how it's factually incorrect. And they voted against that. So that's going to not just muddy up the water. It's going to make it extraordinarily difficult to go forward to find out exactly what happened.
So this is why it's so important for Mueller to be able to continue and finish his work. On a separate line, Rod Rosenstein showed up to speak with General Kelly, the chief of staff, about not releasing the memo. Apparently was turned down. The whole Kelly thing is a mystery to me, but we can get into that at another time. This runs as in a parallel line with the fact that the Russian sanctions that you guys voted on, what, almost a year ago now, are not being put into place by the White House. Is there any sort of repercussions for the White House ignoring what Congress told them to do?
It is a law that was passed with a veto-proof majority. How do you, now as Congress, say, wait a minute, we passed this law, you signed it, you have to go forward. I would suggest that the president's refusal to enforce this law is further evidence, and there's a very long list of his attempt to obstruct.
Totally agree.
Obstruct.
Yeah, totally agree. Well,
if we let him get away with it, then shame on us.
Well, the precedent for the United States Congress, one of three co-equal branches, to look at the executive branch and go, okay, if you don't want to, that's a horrible precedent. You can't set that precedent. You pass a law in a veto-proof majority, the executive branch has to put it into place.
Well, I tell folks to say, well, he's doing this because this whole thing is just a partisan attack anyway. I would remind them, you really ought to care about what the Russians did if you're a Democrat or Republican.
Right.
Remember, they hacked into the Illinois State Board of Elections and dozens of other states as well. They attacked Mike Morrell, hardly a far lefty. You know, he's the former head of the CIA. He called what the Russians did the political equivalent of 9/11.
Totally agree.
You could easily understand circumstances, and watch out for it, in which the Russians would attack Republican candidates. We now know that prior to the 1960 election, they offered dirt to the Kennedy campaign on Richard Nixon, and the Kennedys turned them down and called the FBI, which is apparently what you're supposed to do.
The Trump-appointed head of the CIA said as recently as yesterday, the Russians are already messing with our election, along with elections around the world, and there's been no stated policy and nothing but blocking from the White House. And I would remind everybody, back to the memo for a second, if you buy into any of this memo that it's just the FBI picking on the president, four people have already been charged in this case. So if you think criminal activity hasn't gone on, I got to tell you, this is the way it works. Charged mean there was criminal activity.
One's pleaded guilty as well.
Exactly.
Two have pled guilty.
Two, correct.
All right. So the sanctions mess continues. The memo thing will come to light maybe as soon as this week. I suppose he's got to wait the 5 days, right?
No, he can do whatever he wants. He's the president of the United States. He has 5 days to respond. But he can respond earlier. And I suspect he was waiting until after the State of the Union so that it didn't mess up the messaging from last night.
Right, so it'd make him out as soon as today. All right, moving on to the State of the Union.
State of the Union, let's talk about immigration. The president outlining four pillars of his immigration reform package, but at the very end, Congressman, it was ruled a little bit divisive with buzzwords like Americans are dreamers too, nobody gets everything that they want. What were your overall thoughts on that? And apparently, Representative Gutierrez leaving the chambers a little bit early too.
Well, it's not. I mean, if anyone's surprised by what the president said, I mean, they were disappointed. They just didn't understand a realistic expectation, right? Nothing has changed. But if we back up just a little bit, it was just a couple years ago that the Senate passed a solid, comprehensive immigration package, and it came to the House, and Speaker Boehner, then Speaker Ryan, wouldn't put it on the floor. So we've had a chance to do this the right way. And now we come to a point where the president conflates the issues of dreamers and immigration, says, if I help one group, I have to really screw the other. And I just don't think there's any enthusiasm for doing that on the Democratic side. The dreamers stand alone. We ought to help them, and we ought to pass comprehensive immigration reform at the same time. But the fact is, he infuses this with his rhetoric that he speaks to his base and always has spoken to his base, right? This is why you aren't safe, because Mexicans are coming across the border and attacking you. You know, it's against all the evidence and the statistics that people who are here undocumented and in fact are far more law-abiding than typical citizens. But he has to play the fear card. He has to pit one group against another. It is not what the president of the United States ought to do. He ought to unite, and he ought to seek compromise. Last night was really throwing down the gauntlet, going back campaign style.
I know you're short on time here, and so are we, but the end game of this is the State of the Union speeches are always long on words and short on details. Last night prove to be that as well. The previous two issues, however, are going to affect all of us immediately. So I would just say this. If you agree that Russia interfered in our elections, and as a functional adult, I don't know how you couldn't agree with it, because our entire intelligence community says that it absolutely happens, you should want what we want, what everybody who's been really done any bit of reading or homework on this wants, and that's an end to this. And that's a full investigation that comes to a conclusion and a policy from this White House on how to keep Russia from doing it and stop them from doing it right now, and the sanctions being imposed. Those aren't unreasonable requests. Those are appropriate requests by any American, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the I just want to add, one of the reasons I don't think this administration wants this to go any farther isn't even to the point of what the Russians did. It is the fact that while investigating this, the Mueller investigation and the beginnings, just scratching the surface on our side, began to understand why money laundering mattered in the Trump financial world. And I think that is what has this White House really freaked out. Of all people, Steve Bannon hit it over the head. He goes, "This is all about money laundering." Yep. And if we're allowed, and Mr. Mueller is allowed to continue the investigation, we're going to find out things that are far more concerning than they've learned so far.
If Mueller, after all of this, says that Trump and company did not obstruct, did not collude, not a crime, but didn't launder money, Mueller did the investigation and got it done to its fullest. But if Mueller is fired, can you imagine?
I can't.
But a year ago, we would have said the same thing about Comey. Can you imagine?
Republican Lindsey Graham said we need legislation to protect Mueller. It's incredible that a Republican senator would say that we need legislation to protect him. Why would you need that if a president wasn't intent on obstructing? And House Majority Leader McCarthy said we don't need such protection.
That's ridiculous.
So the Republicans, with all due respect, have to decide, are they going to allow the rule of law, or are they going to let this president skirt the issue?
Yeah, McCarthy told our friend Chuck Todd on Sunday that we don't need a law like that because nothing's happened. Well, you don't make a law to not kill people after the murder. Yeah, I mean, the law has to be in place to keep a crime from happening in a case like this. All right, we're going to let you go, but I will say this, Congressman Quigley. The president's words last night that hung with me that are really important to me. You can talk all you want about protecting the police and honoring the police, and I truly believe that Donald Trump respects the police, and when he sees a cop, he wants to shake his hand, and he wants a strong military. I believe he believes that. However, it's completely hypocritical to say that while you tear down our law in abiding and protective agencies like the FBI. You can't have it both ways, Congressman.
Absolutely. Let me just add, we used to have a program that funded hiring of police at the local level called cop grants. It's been zeroed out. So if they really want to keep you safe at the local level, what are people in Chicago most concerned about? It's local crime.
Yeah.
Help us out. Let's put more police on the street. We'll all feel a little safer.
Blackhawks 2, Nashville 1.
Hope springs eternal.
That's right, buddy. Thank you.
All right.
Congressman Mike Quigley.